So, welcome everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much, everybody, coming. Today, according to email, KTC email, book signing and Little Lama from Rule of the World. Little Lama born in the Roof of the World, but he fall in Texas. So we're gonna do a book signing, and I making the story or history official book signing. Many books available now, but because of many books available, it's not Lama D. Dorje. It's a good writer or a good command in English. It's due to multiple friends and students who contribute their skill, wisdom, and all the books are manifest. And therefore, Lama D. Dorje does not have any pride that he has many books. And among all the books, the Roof of the World, the Lama's autobiography book that you read, and then related with the autobiography, more than 100 pictures, and a regional artist in Tibet. This art book sends artists in Tibet, Tibetan and Tibet, very special, and spend lots of time and money. And I know I will never recover to what we spend it. But I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about how happy that the book finally, those arts that we are used for children book. It says the children, but we're talking about children of all age. And that means some are a little bit older looking, but still you can be children. And it's true that the wisdom has no boundary. We can be children learning all the time until we just died. So some ways, yes, we all children. And especially maturity of spiritual, maturity of compassion, maturity of wisdom, we are again children. There's a lot of room to develop, in other words. So, children of all age, it goes well. But as I say, among all the books, this book is the most important book for me in terms of how much I put energy and spend all our money. I mean, artists, I have to pay $10,000 right in front. So just keep that in mind. And I know now Every book sell, you pay money, but really how much you already paid. Just art. That does not include the people work on editing and translating for my word by word. None of those included. It's all volunteer. And so I just opened a book here, just opened the page. It was a section when I was born. I mean, this book is a hundreds of story, and what you read here is a 4 or 5 sentences, but really 4 or 5 pages behind. There is a story behind. So this is a story about my birth. And it may be important, maybe not important, but I'm talking here, you may be wondering when he born. I was a little boy, and I was quarreling like any other kids. Looks like 4 legs, and he is a quarreling 4 legs right now. The book that, and I didn't bring. I forgot to bring clothes, so I did not bring any clothes by the time when I arrived. So, but eventually, the parents are kind enough to cover you up. So that's it. So, first, I did not born in a house where everybody, air condition is going on. Like this, and lights on, temperature, music going on, not like that. I born inside the tent, and a tent, it's warm enough for winter and cold enough to summer. I mean, it's a beautiful. It's yak hair made tent. Yak hair. Yak hair is a much thicker material, so it's very good. And whole family live there, sleep there, eat there, cooking there, whatever family activities inside that tent. Important, the story is the bigger the tent and the bigger their material is. Their more sign of wealth is if you have bigger tent, bigger, just like here. I think it go real well. If you live in the mansion, that means that you're a little bit, you have a little more dough than the other people. So you can stay in the mansion with everybody else in a little house. And same thing in Tibet, but it measured with tent. According to my story about the birth, it was a dawn. For Tibetan history or Tibetan belief system, when somebody come in the dawn, it's auspicious rather than somebody come birth when is a sunset or when is a dark evening. The reason is when somebody come before the sunrise, it brings. It has some kind of attribute they call, he's going to bring a lot of light, or he or she, doesn't matter. He or she going to bring a lot of light to the many lives of the living beings, the lives of the people who he interact with. So that's what happened. Another story my mother told me is my mother's first child died, could not survive after they are almost walking. So I was second when I came on board. Since then, all the siblings after me, they survived. So then they say, he's a good guy because since he came, everybody survived. That's what they say. So, of course, this is based on the cultural belief system. something that has to do with the culturally, you know, that page here. So my my habit was saving some lives, but that does not mean I didn't eat the meat, because the meat was the main dietary there. So I eat the meat. There's no other choice. Animal product is very important to survive in a cold climate, and also more colder than a warmer. What they call warmer, sometimes what we call winter here. That difference is. And I remember my father was without a shirt, and he's loading and unloading the yaks. And 4 or 5 feet of snow on the ground, and huge pieces of snow, one after the other, they're hitting back to you from space. They're snowing right now, snowing. Big lumps of them, they're hitting. And he was not having any shirt on, and I can't believe myself to witness that. But I found out when you are active doing things, then you're not so cold at all, because your temperature yourself, your body temperature is so warm off, so the outside temperature does not affect on you too much. So that's what was, it was not magic, it was not trick, it was just, he was so involved with doing heavy stuff things, so there is a snowing, a little cold outside, that doesn't affect him. Whereas I'm sure that people who always living inside the house with the winter or summer, using the climate control, then they're the one very difficult to face outside Mother Nature. Little wind is too much, little water is too much, too less water is not good. No sun is not good, a lot of sun is not good either. So we have an infinite number of complaining about the Mother Nature. Even though Mother Nature is everything, and we forget that, and we don't recognize that, and we complain to Mother Nature. What we really need to do is Mother Nature is what we really need to appreciate them and love them, take good care of them. So that's a section. I think before I talk another part, as I say, there's hundreds of pictures. Another part, I want you to make connection with a guru devotee, guru-disciple relationship. I'm not asking you that you have to be take Lama D. Dorje, your guru. On the contrary, if you don't have any guru and you only have me as your guru with 100% comfortable, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But I'm not requesting you have to be me. Lama D. Dorje have to be your guru. I'm sure you may have many gurus, but all gurus into one, Buddha would be good guru, ultimate Buddha. Then lineage holder, Karmapas, is a good guru. And a Karmapa and a Buddhist Bodhisattva blessing to the Karmapa. And then Karmapa have a connection with his lineage. And at least he also sort of like recognized and throned, sent me to here. So therefore, when you have some connection with the Karmapa through me, or Karmapa connection because of me, then it's okay to be also used as a a reference point. So we're going to recite the Karma Vajjeno together. So we're reciting Karma Vajjeno, but if you are not connect with the Karmapa well, then you can connect with Buddhist Bodhisattva, other names too. And then while you're reciting, Karma Vajjeno, Karmapa is the name of Karmapa as a human's relative level. But really, ultimately, Karma Vajjeno definition is activities of all the Buddhist Bodhisattva. That means it's no particular name. It's activities of Buddhist Bodhisattva three times in the world. That's what you are connecting. The activities of three times of the Buddhist Bodhisattva. So recite this together. Karma Vajjeno, 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 Karma Vajjeno,
Karma Vajjeno,
story is in a page, had to wear this, page number 30 on the children's book. There are many, many hundreds of stories, so I'm choosing few here and there. This is the story, I don't really have to read from there, just talk, that it was a time around the sort of like late morning, early midday, I think between 9 to 10, 11, some around there, my memory is. And a couple of kids, we were playing around, and we are supposed to take care of the lambs, baby lambs. So we have some baby lambs, we are taking good care of baby lambs, and the mother lambs are not with them. Mother lambs are separate. That's when you separate them, that's where you get a lot of milk from goat milk and sheep milk. So we are playing around, and it's like maybe quarter mile or maybe half mile, I'm not sure exactly, from the my family where they live. Certainly we saw the distance, there is a very ugly looking couple animals coming. And we didn't know what the animal never seen before. Guess what? It was Himalay brown bear. They love to eat human. They're targeting human. There's a story that they in bush, and horsemen, and they take down, and a horse run, then person fell down, then it's a good meal for the Himalayan brown bears. And the man-eaters are very ugly because man-eaters have no hair much. So it's a kind of a hairless brown bear. Anyway, we didn't know my friend's kids, none of us know about the bear, and none of them seen it alive. And this is the first time we encounter with. So we talk to how ugly they are, but they're coming towards us. And then when they're coming almost like, I don't know, very close, but not too close. And then rifle, the bullet, somebody shotgun, and hit on some kind of big rock and dust between the brown bears and kids, myself and my friend. And dust went up, and then the strange-looking animals changed their mind, and they go in a different direction. Then we saw that where our family lives, usually 2-3 families live together. They are nomad. They move place to place, but they always have 5, 6, or 3, or 4 families. They living together and campsite together. So there's a group of people coming and running and screaming. And then strange-looking animal, they also disappear. They're gone the other direction. No longer there. But all these people coming, and some of them, and I noticed my mother was one of them, and she's crying, coming. And then they're holding us, and then they're really terrified. And we say, what happened? They say, well, that's the Himalayan brown bear, like to eat the kids. Love to eat a kids for snake. It will be this, you know. That's what they told me. So anyway, that's one story I'm showing you from that page. Another story is my father that tell that story. It might be interesting. He and a group of his friends, his age, and my father, I think back then I wasn't a born. And he and a group of young guys, they are looking for trouble. They say, let's go mountain. We look for a brown bear. See if we can take down one, shotgun, gun, or something. So they just, for fun, it was not ask anybody to do that. But they are in a mountain, they're going to Rocky Mountains looking for brown bear, right? And suddenly they come across some caves, little caves. When they cross the cave entrance, not going in the cave, the caves are small caves that you can't standing to go. If you go in a cave, you have to be crawling and going, that kind of cave. They crossed one of those caves, and a big noise came out, and that's one brown bear coming out. And, oh yeah, story, part of the story I forgot there is, it was winter, and suppose that the brown bear is very sleepy. Hibernation. And the young guys, they want to play around with a sleepy brown bear in a cave on a mountain. So that was the plan. So the part of the story now I remember by talking. And then when the noise came out and a brown bear was sleepy, but he's not too sleepy, he can come out of the door, he's looking for some food. And knowing, everybody ran away. And my father told me, he's stuck He stuck, he couldn't run. When he turned, it's a big rock behind him. Big rock behind, because the way the structure is. So he stuck there, and the bear come out of the half of his body, and he's grabbing him, my father. So, but my father tried to stay away from the, as far as he can, but the brown bear hand comes out and took a few pieces, tear his front of his cloth, and it's called a tsakpa. That means a sheepskin chuba. That's a long jacket, coat kind of thing, and it's a sheepskin, okay? Made a very soft sheepskin, you know, Costco, I saw some. That sheepskin. Yeah. Apart from that, I always try to get the sheepskin from Costco to give it to my mother, because they have an old mentality. Sheepskin is how good in Tibet. So, trade down some. But my father told me that each time he grabbed and he managed to not caught his leg or arm or something. And then finally they separate, and then he run, father's escaped. What he told me is that he took some of his cloth, but also a lot of slavacy. The brown bear's saliva. Lot of brown bears of saliva, because each time he jam and making noise, there's a lot of water coming out. So making joke, he might need a raincoat next time. So that story is again, a brown bear is there in my father's kind of a picture there. Next, I'm going to page 34, there is a map, there is a people escaping, and it is the border of Nepal, India, every country. And I want to tell you a little story about how I felt when I reached the border there. Reach the border. When we said that we reached the border, and immediately people look never seen before. They dress never seen before. Their language is quite different. And then just everything is different. And then we saw what they're eating and doing things is totally different. Even though everybody eating in their mouth, but it's the food, what they're cooking is different. Perhaps they have a yellow stuff with the white thing cooking on. We know the rice somewhere before, but the rice and lentil, we thought the lentil is what ugly and tasteless looking that thing they put on there. You know, the Nepali, India, they eat rice with lentil a lot. So we were going like, where are we born now? What do they do with this? And the dog won't eat this, or horse won't eat this. Now we have to eat this. So stuff like that. We experienced that. And then we saw the trace of a bus and truck or something on the sand. We saw those sand. We thought, what kind of art this? So they must take for a long time to creating this. But it was, in the sand, you have a truck driver or a car drive, they have a tires track on it. We just thought it will be fascinated walking on those tracks and thinking about how long it must be take for ages doing this, but didn't see there. Finally, we saw the bus. Oh my gosh, we saw the bus. We thought, is this a real living being, or is that? Didn't know the machine work like that. It's running, and then And then a lot of people sitting there, everybody moving hand. What is this going on? Some Tibetan people thought it's still big yak or something, different version of yak. They brought some grass and they show them. See, they eat. But no matter how much you try, the bus is not eating grass at all. I heard the same rumor piped from there in Bhutan. That first the royal family, they have a couple jeeps. That all these jeeps, because of Bhutan, they do not have road system. All they did is lots of people put the car pieces, and they put all in carry with the four, five people will be carry with the wood frame, like a king and queen, how they carry ancient time. And then they put together because they don't know how to put that. They hire somebody special somewhere, and they put together. Once they put there, they never draw anybody. Even a king doesn't know what we're talking about here. So what they did is the beginning. It's local people will come and distance look, and some of the older people will bring little fruit and things and show them, see, these are two eyes where the lights are. This, so it must be mouth around here somewhere. So they're showing, but they're not eating any grass or the animal. I heard in Bhutan had that problem. So the Tibetan definitely had in my lifetime. So the story is a bus, and then we saw the train. It told, I know, the bus that we saw, that was their children. No, this is the mother and father because they're so long. That's what we thought. And this is a very interesting experiencing when we're crossing that. Now I'm on page 35 and 36. And actually page 35 and 36. The picture will show you that little Lama Didorje and family, how they're hiding in the mountains for weeks. And the army, the communist armies circling in the mountains, and anything escaping or anything, they're bombing around. So there is airplanes and a group of people hiding in the mountain. That was the part of the story, my life, I remember. We be told parents that please don't move, don't walk during the circling the airplanes. And we are pretend a piece of rock there or hide in the cave underneath the big rocks. That's what we did. We were hiding. And I remember, I don't have to look at the story, that the airplanes and army, bombers, those are circling way below where we are hiding. We were much higher because the mountains are so tall. We're talking about... we live on 16,000, so we're talking about 20,000 or something. We're up there. Anyway, they're circling way down there. And the next part is 36. You will see a group of people giving up, and there's some armies pointing a gun. And that was the experience of... As we were, after weeks and weeks of hiding, we have no food to eat, no water to drink. So then we want to escape from army. So we come down from the mountain and we got down to the base. Now we need to go another mountain to safety. But before we get another mountain, we were caught with the army. And then this is my experience is, of course, it's been now, you know, over 50 years now. What I remember is we be told our own people, somebody speaks Chinese. because they were dealing with the Chinese a few years ahead of time. They have training with there. And that time, Tibet is not taking over Chinese, but the Chinese want to take over, so they are mingling with the Tibetan lot. So they were training some Tibetan translators. And this translator is a part of our family. As a matter of fact, he's still alive. So I go visit. Her son is in New York. Anyway, he got married with a Chinese girl, but that's good. It's all good. But anyway, that's apart from that. Now, so the story is that she was a young, beautiful lady, and he says, give up everybody, hand off. So we were hand up, holding kataks, holding. If you hand go up and holding kata, this means I give up, I'm not fighting. So the army will not shoot you. And at the meantime, we were all doing like that, okay, give up. And I remember there is a horse, a horseman, and I don't know if that horseman story is here or not. Perhaps it's not really, that picture is included. The horseman, he joined our group. We were 30 people or more. He joined our group, and I don't really know because I was so little. I don't know much about him. He was a priest on horse. He has a horse. Others, we don't have a lot of horse walking. But he was on the top of horse, and he, some reason, he priest instead of holding hand up. And the army shooting him guns. The guns have bullet, have a, according to my story, according to my memory, it's like raining. Like that. It was like a non-stop bullet going. And the guy and the horse board, literally my eyes, I saw the dust and smoke, and he's upside down like have you ever witnessed earthquake on California? It's like whole trees are dancing and all everything crack and smoke come out and dust come out like this. Like that, the whole thing is upside down. When it went on, I don't know how long, and it finally stopped. And so quiet and peace. And then the Chinese say something, and then translator say, if anybody resist, come in front, we'll do the same thing. Means, it will go on and on and on. I can tell more than 100 bullets went to the one horse and the one person, for sure. Or at least that's my belief. So that's, you want to know why Lama is here? He's a skippies. He escaped from Tibet to India, Nepal. Coming here, it's not skippy. I really didn't want to come. And some of you might say, I don't blame you. But I was forced by lineage, Karmapa. That's the reason today I'm talking about Karmapa. Reciting Karmapa name and talking about why I'm here and talking about my story. So it go well together. So if I have any good things to offer you, it's all because Karmapa. If I have bad things to offer you, blame Karmapa. So that's part of the... And then the section 38, maybe I'll share that and then we'll recite more. 38 section is, we were escaping. It's a page 38. It's a beautiful. We were escaping in the night. And put all little, at that time, we managed to bring some yaks, some horses. But We have some food, but not a lot at that time. But majority of people working on foot, and some kids and older or people, some are stuck on the yaks and horses. I happen to be also on a horse, and my siblings are also on the horse. Guess what? And I dropped out, means fall out, and I didn't wake up because we were day and night so tired. If you fell from yak on the ground, you'll continue more comfortable. Comfortable, more sleep and snore. So, but luckily somebody stepped on me and feel scared, and what is I stepped, and then they found I was alive. And then they call, look at me, and then luckily there's we found a little baby here. Not really baby, but little child here. And then everybody look at their children, then my mother rescue me. And they cannot see each other, dark night. They cannot see until you touch it. And then, that's one reason I think who has stepped on me saved my life, because it's not separate from the parents. Once you separate from that moment, you may be walking 10 miles a night or somewhere moving, you will never ever to recover and find. That's the life story. Now we do karma panchena. Karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno. Karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma bhajeno, karma. Next, I'm jumping page 81, and I'll tell you that story of Lama life story. This is a Lama, little Lama story, and it's all a lot of these things are related with the dream. And well, I was in a 3-year retreat, traditional 3-year retreat. During 3-year retreat, I have many, many dreams, and you can call a vivid dream, because most of these dreams are very accurate and has a lot of significance and a lot of to do with the rest of my life. So they are very real as you and I, how we see each other right now. That real. If I can say more than that, might be not good, but at least that much real that I believe and I experience. So the story is here. It's one night, as I am half sleep and half dream yoga practice, I have a group of people, we're walking. And I don't remember who these groups are. It seems like my friend. We were walking, and then suddenly somebody mentioned to me, usually somebody in my ear mentioned to me, the voice, says that we are going to walk, and it's a so beautiful mountain that every step we make is going higher and higher, and all the rocks, all the land is covered with the snow. So every step we make a footprint like that. And suddenly we were saw some kind of footprint. And we're going higher and higher, higher and higher. And then I heard this noisy noise, so terrified noise. As I look, it's a leopard flying onto me. He must be hungry. He wants to eat me. And so he's flying onto me. He's sort of like landing on me. He landed on me. And I realize I have to give it to him and give up, or I have to defend my life. And then my instinct says, I can handle him, no problem. So, and then we were fighting each other equally strong. Sometimes he's on top, sometimes I'm on the top. And then somehow my two hands get into his mouth that I can make his mouth open where he cannot close anymore. So I was forced to do that, and he really killed by me. Then I felt a little bit bad, sad, because I killed somebody. So part of me says, now what? What you done? Kind of thing. So as I was mixed experiencing victorious to kill that, get over with the killing that leopard, but also killing. So I have a mixed experiencing happening. In the meantime, I look around, nobody around me. And I'm wondering where they go, my friends. And I look one more time again about my victim, that leopard that I killed. I look around, it was a cat's eyes. I cannot believe, did I kill a cat? I thought that was a leopard. What's going on here? I could not reconcile myself. So if you kill a cat, that's a, so what? That's a, you're not a hero. I mean, you're not a hero. You're not victorious. You kill a cat. So my pride, my victory is totally destroyed. And on top of that, I kill a cat. So now all this bad energy that I feel sad and beat on myself like that. So I talked to my retreat master about the story roughly. I talked to him and he said, your spiritual journey successful, and that particular obstacle, you get through it. It is a sign of obstacle that you have to get through one after the other. Next obstacle, then next obstacle you have to get through. Majority practitioner will not get through those obstacles. And you get through those obstacles, it's a good sign. That's what he told me. So that's something I want to share with you. And this is a dream. So I take that as not giving up my practice, not giving up my dream, not giving up His Holiness's vision, that what He saw me, what He see me. So I'm not giving up. That means that I am focused and I am determined, no matter how much I have to face problems like that. But believe me, now we have more group is a little bit bigger here, and I have a very good friends. I found some good friends, and I maybe found some students. But there are times that I wasn't sure why I'm doing what I'm doing, and where is any benefits, except making myself poverty and not working and earning money and not doing what everybody doing. And nobody recognize you, nobody respect you, nobody really cherish you, nobody supporting you. And what am I doing, this samsara thing? I mean, I thought this is a Dharma activity, but apparently nobody interested in Dharma, what I'm doing here. So that question came to me many times, especially once I got in the West. Because of my friends and relatives or my colleagues, some of them, they show me $100 a day. And when you don't have a $20 in your pocket, makes a difference. Lama, look at me. This is my money. And this thick $100 or $100 check they show me, see, I earn. When you're not making $20 a day or $5 a day, it's a big deal. I went through that. So, knowing, still I stay with my initial goal and Karmapa's wish, perhaps those are the obstacles. Those are the obstacles I get through. I know many young lamas who are well-educated, graduate from Shedda, means academic school, graduate from three-year retreat, could not keep their ropes, could not keep their Dharma mission. They have to work. They like to make $100 a day. If you're not making more than $100 a day, they're happy to make about $100 a day. They're happy to, because that's a minimum they can make. They're happy to doing that. So I have seen many, witnessed many lamas that they couldn't do it. My case, whether you will see it's successful or not, but to me, myself, for teeny tiny successful, that I stay with that. And I'm not asking anybody rewarding me anything, not even including Karmapa 17 or any other lama will reward me. No, I'm not expecting anything. My reward is I know where it is. I'll get it. So that's something, my life story. Relate with that story in number 82. I dream and half dream, half vivid dream or luminosity dream. I dream. My horse is white. My horse can fly anywhere I want. And I rode this horse and I flew. I witnessed many mountains, many clouds, and many valleys. And I found a place, well, hundreds of thousands, or maybe at least hundreds, are children of beautiful dress, like gurias, like dolls, beautiful dolls. They are so beautiful dress, a boy and girl. Hundreds of them, they are charming and clapping hands, seeing me. And they are all children. No one is old. No one is mature. They're all children. Innocent, beautiful, fresh. And they want me to give water. And they say, we need water. And they know I have a power. And temporarily, I was a Superman. Temporarily, I was a Superman. And the Superman has so much power that like a god, god, goddess, god and goddess power. So all I had to do is show one of my finger. I don't think I show middle finger. I think I show index finger. I show my index finger, and I still remember that that there is a big trees. I show finger next to the tree, water come out. I show on the right side and the meadow area, I show my finger, water shoot up. Waters are shoot up so high, stores, like 1, 2, 3 stores buildings high, water come out. And the children, they are dancing, screaming, laughing, and they are soaked with the waters here and there. That was my mission. And then I rode the horse, continue my journey. And sometimes my dream that when I wake up, I mixed up with the dream life, with the real life. It takes a while to switch back and forth. In other words, I have some dilemma sometimes. How are you sure this is not the dream? And how sure that? So there is that. But don't worry. And I be explained by my right ear, somebody. So the dream, significant of the dream is, that dream is, it was not a white horse, it was airplane, and it's supposed to be most airplanes are white. Then it was not the children, it was the children of a spiritual hunger of the people on planet Earth. There's a different part of the country, different places, and they are hunger. They are ready to receive the Dharma, but they don't have access. So they are understanding their preciousness. It's symbolic as a children. They really, Dharma is so powerful for them. They are ready to receive, just like children, ready to receive education, teaching, and study, like that. It was not the drought of the water. It was a drought of the Dharma. It was not water they're soaking in. It was a Dharma that what you received from Lama is like raining. It's like water spring. So water spring, like spring means where the water come out of the earth. So when you have a Lama position at the center, it's like you have a treasure. You have a water sources, Dharma water sources that in the next near your door. You have that sources. So as much you drink, never ends. It's more nurture and more receive teachings. So that was the story. And then beautiful clothes, all the children wearing, that means it's not the clothes, they were beautiful. I interpreted that as a beautiful cloth is a variety of ethics, ground, and background, male, female, yellow, blue, green, brown, all these different colors, white, all these colors, multiple, just like beautiful flowers all together. It's like beautiful flowers. Because I interpret it that way, if that's okay with you. So that is the story. They're all in this book. So I recommend you should, when you buy this book, you should, of course you can keep it forever, but You can also pass with the next person who would like to read a Lama life story. Or maybe somebody like to know about who you study with and who what Lama you met. The life story of that Lama is English here. So it will be go well with this, with the falling of the rule of the world, the regional text, and this go side by side, except this has less words. And Christmas is coming, and you can buy a flower, you can buy bread, but you can also buy this and wrapped nicely, and you can be it. I try to be like a business person, even though I have no idea what it takes to be a business person. I may be saying the wrong thing here, maybe. But anyway, if you do that, then we will do the book signing ceremony right now. Thank you very much, everybody. Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.